Good evening, BBSRadio.com throughout the world. This is Marty Ford. You about ready? That's the name of our show on BBSRadio.com. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Time Zone, whatever standard or whatever they do around here. But we are live here in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station. And as you know from before, I am the original American Idol. So we're ready to get you started on another hour of power before you shower, so you can smell like a flower. And if you love a flower, don't pick it. You can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose. If you love a flower, don't pick it, because it will die and not be there to provide its love, comfort, and beauty. Love is about appreciation. So appreciate the things in life. The greatest feeling you can receive is that feeling of appreciation that someone or something did something wonderful for you and with you, never to you. Remember, there's a big difference. People in your life doing things to you, get rid of them. So we want to empower ourselves to do that. So don't pick the flowers. Appreciate nature, the power of nature. And if you think nature isn't powerful, go to one of the coasts, find an ocean, and try to sweep away an ocean wave with a broom. It just doesn't work. This is the fastest hour on radio and in your life. This 60 minutes goes by faster than any 60 minutes that you'll know, especially sitting in traffic if you're doing so, listening to BBSRadio.com on whatever kind of electronics you have to get through your day. And we don't mind the electronics in the world, but let's not get brainwashed with it, and let's get out and play. Speaking of play, it's Tuesday night. Got in my game tonight. Played some ball tonight. Hit the floor three times. The old bones got up by himself. Little creaky, little aching. It took a few extra grunts and groans, but I made it up by myself, although some of the guys came over to reach out and help pull me up, give me a hand. I'm still able to do it by myself, so I will. There was lots of body banging tonight, almost a fight. Wow, got heated. Must be a full moon out there. Guys were edgy. I don't know why. There's a lot of stress and energy and frustration to get out, and plus playing for the love of the game. But keeping all those feelings inside takes away your empowerment, makes you become a victim of your own feelings by getting it out. Whatever means you do that, and we talked about those, things that help you fight boredom, things to empower you, and we'll talk about all those tonight as well, some old and some new. But it's better to get this stuff out at the game and play for the love of the game than to do it at home. Because if you've ever seen in recent news headlines or reports, there have been some coaches who have gone over the line. They crossed the line, for the lack of a better cliche that I can think of right now. And the way they treat and abuse their players in the practice field and sometimes during the game in front of thousands of people, it's just awful. And it's inexcusable, but they still do it. And I'll tell you what else they do. They don't leave that kind of behavior and that attitude and those things on the floor at practice. They take it home. And you have to feel bad for the women and the kids in the house, because they're subject to this kind of behavior at any moment, randomly. And it's terrible. So let's get a hold of our feelings and our emotions. Let's go to anger management class. Things you should have learned as a kid. Or maybe you were bullied, or you were the bully, and then you're passing it along to the next generation. Because remember, those who abuse and those who bully and those who do those kinds of things, whatever they are, violate someone's personal space and life in any way, that happened to them, and it's going to continue and continue and keep perpetuating that. So let's get rid of that stuff. And it happens just not in the field of sports, where the emotions and the behaviors and the attitudes and actually the bad things occur that we mentioned, but we don't go into detail because we're smart enough to know about them. At colleges, where there's leverage between teachers, professors, and students who want to get ahead, corporations do it to their folks. Unless you're part of the inner circle, you're subject to that stuff. The military, they just broke a big military case. Sad to say, it was the Air Force. There were dozens of officers implicated in a cheating scandal. You know, cheating is just another form of abuse. They're cheating us. They're hurting people. And maybe they're not qualified to do what they do. And now the Pentagon wants to go to another way. And they're being pressured to turn over records of all the military sex crimes that have been reported over the past few years. And it goes from, like I say, the colleges, the corporations, the military, the religious groups, and so forth. And until someone has the courage, knowing retaliation is part of the process, terrible thing, to do the right thing and expose the bullies for who they are and what they do, this kind of stuff will continue, and hopefully it'll diminish as time goes by and more of these inappropriate people are put away and away from putting others in danger, like kids who want to go to the park and play, right? As we know, to go along with this, the protesters, if you follow the news in Ukraine recently, most recently, the protesters seem to turn out to be right. You know, go back to Vietnam. Those kids burning draft cards and running up to Oregon or Canada, in the long run, they turned out to be right. You know, war, there's no winners in a war or a police action, whatever you call it. We do need to protect ourselves. We don't need to mind everybody else's business for the sake of our business, which is business. I understand all that. But Poland had Lech Walesa to represent them many years ago. So I played ball tonight, and I'm feeling pretty good. I had my music to get me going because, you know, music makes me lose control. Last week I added Amazing Grace to my repertoire of mood getting into and getting pumped up and ready to go here on bbsradio.com. By the way, if you want to call into the radio station, the number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you would like to send me an email, which some have done, which I appreciate, and I always get back to everybody fairly promptly, and I appreciate your comments and contributions and discussions through email. My email is hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp 73@gmail.com. If you'd like to advertise any business or products that you have for sale or marketing and so forth, and you want to do some advertising on the show, it's very reasonable. I'm inexpensive. I'm not cheap, but I guess I am cheap. A different part of speech, I guess. Send me an email and we'll discuss the terms, conditions, and everything else. It's fairly simple. And one thing I wanted to touch on that I've missed the past few weeks is my website, www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. It's a website I created and paid for myself. It's simply a registry of people who are in the military from any war, from any police action, from any peacetime service to our country. They can sign up for a modest fee of $25 and a $10 renewal fee every year. We'll put your name, your address, your phone number, your contact information, where you served, what years you were in, where you were stationed, what you did, your jobs, any nicknames, any other identifiers that would help connect you to some of your buddies, because it's really cool and neat and fun to be with your buddies. I have a whole little narrative about connecting with veterans, because especially in today's situation, a lot of guys are coming back, and it's pretty obvious from the what you read, post-traumatic stress disorder. Medicine is good. Group therapy is okay. None of it together works. It doesn't work independently. What works is to be with your buddies, the ones you shared a common ground with, where you can communicate. Today, doesn't matter where you are. You can communicate through Skype or FaceTime or email or texting or telephone, in person if it's geographically possible, Facebook, etc. But this is a small, compact way of getting all the people to connect with each other. And so that's www.connectwithveterans.com. By the way, the money that we raise from this helps pay for the website and all the other money. Once we accumulate a good chunk of change, we're going to distribute it to deserving veterans and their families. And we'll find them. We know they're out there. So that's my little spiel for the veterans that I haven't made, I haven't put on air in the past couple of weeks. As I said, I put on Amazing Grace and added it to my list because music gets your juices, gets my juices going, flowing, and I'm always feeling like I'm growing. It helps me feel good about myself. And part of this show is to help you feel good about yourself, help you accomplish more than you ever thought possible, help you do what you do best and a little bit more, because I know you can do it, whatever it is. You just maybe need a little boost, a little encouragement, a little dose of confidence to help you get over the hump of doing what you want to do with your life. Part of empowerment, this whole thing is united, fighting boredom, playing, fun, and learning how to empower yourself. It's all connected. It's not fragmented. It's not pieces randomly out there. Though I do present in a random way and help you, and hopefully you can take what you need out of this, become eclectic, another cliche, and help build the best world you can for yourself and those in your world. So music is good for your soul, to keep you in control. Yeah, I know you sometimes watch the dancers on the pole. Soon to be an Olympic sport, or so I heard on one news report. What to believe? Let's not be naive. Nothing you hear, and about half of what you see. So keep an open mind. That's the best thing you can do, keeping an open mind. And if they put pole dancing in as an Olympic sport, I guess beach volleyball is it. It's already in there in the Summer Olympics. Maybe we can get a little bit more viewership and energy going. Where are we here? We're with our usual critical thinking, right? Because critical thinking is part of being empowered. Because we often say, wait, why'd you do that? Damn, man, I wasn't thinking. Yeah, you wasn't thinking, so now you got to pay the price. Small as I hope it is. Sometimes it's bigger. But think. Don't, not too long, because I used to play cards with guys in the service, and people would just go over their hand and just look at it and see it. And the old motto was, the cliche was, think long and think wrong. Sometimes you just got to put your head down and go. But go, take the risk, but be prepared. The more you're prepared, the more you're energized, the more you are connected to yourself, the better and more consistent your results will be. So last week's critical thinking was, person jumps out of a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away, not a scratch, not even a little sweat stain anywhere, right? How do you explain that? Well, and by the way, 10 feet is a story. So a 10-story building is 100 feet tall, plus or minus, right? Depending on who's got the ruler out. So he jumps out of a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away, not a scratch. How did he do that? Well, jumped out of the ground floor. There's a window on the ground floor. Or he might have jumped out the first floor. That's 10 feet. I said he jumped out of a 10-story building. I did not say he jumped out of the 10th floor of a 10-story building. So listening is all part of communicating. In fact, we have two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. So if you're listening carefully and closely, and you are maybe taking notes on some of this stuff, and you are critically thinking about what I'm saying, fast as it might seem to many, you'll get these over time. And you should be getting conditioned and trained to be thinking along the ways that these little brain busters take you. This week's brain buster is, if it takes 3 people, 3 days, and 3 nights to dig a 3-foot hole, how long does it take to dig half a hole? Otra vez. If it takes 3 people, 3 days, and 3 nights to dig a 3-foot hole, how long does it take to dig half a hole? Next week, we'll have the answer. This week's tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. Did you know that women blink twice as much as men? So the boy band, or whatever they're called, Blink 182, if they were women, we'd have to call them Blink 364, because they blink twice as much as men. I stayed awake all last night to see if I snored. Guess what? I didn't. The cliches. Now, cliches we always talk about because we're not thinking. We're not critically thinking about using something more creative, innovative, or just plain different than the mundane, overused, downright abused verbal garbage that comes out of our mouths because we don't take the time, or we're too lazy, or something that prevents us, gets in our way of saying something a little bit different, not becoming a me too. You're having a hamburger? Oh yeah, me too. You're wearing a green shirt? Oh yeah, me too. Everyone's going to the right? Please go to the left. Watch yourself at the mall or museums. Don't follow the crowd. Be a leader to yourself and you will lead others. So the cliches take the place of critically thinking, and they've become almost like the modern day profanity, right? The modern day profanity that we have. And just the other day, I was watching one of those shows with my wife. We were just relaxing. We had a long day of, we went for a walk, we did some shopping, we did some things around the house. We just wanted to relax, and we watched one of those home improvement shows or something where they fix it up, sell it, or whatever. And the people walked in, and all they said was, it's amazing. Every room was amazing. Every doorknob was amazing. Every paint color was amazing. It was the most amazing house. I think they lived on Amazing Street, or so they wanted to. And some of our other more popular cliches, we want to review every week a few of them. Critical mass, nothing to do with religion. We have reached a critical mass. Flat out, we talked about. Boots on the ground, that's a good one. We're going to work out the kinks when we get boots on the ground. Push the envelope. I've pushed envelopes all over this messy desk that I have in the basement of beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station. I can't push the envelopes anymore. They're going to fall off the table. And, of course, we have the state of the art. Now, the state of the art is art in itself, and it's interpretive, and you determine what is art to you, right? How do you know it's good if you've never experienced bad? So this week's cliches are oldies but goodies, right? We're like the old radio stations playing songs from the 60s or the 40s or whenever you are, right? Anytime. One hand washes the other. You got to be careful with this one because you never know where those hands have been. Digging, scratching, sneezing, coughing, wiping. Just be careful. I think everybody should just bump elbows. I mean, even taps and fist pumps and all that stuff is getting a little shady now because you never know where people's hands have been on themselves and or others, right? Six and one, a half dozen the other. You know, it's like, what do you mean? What do you say? Can't you come up with some six of one, half a dozen of the other? And people mumble that, and you can't. I mean, if you're new to the cliche world, you don't even understand what they're saying, right? They talk, they put it all together in jumble talk. Six of one, half a dozen of another, right? I don't know. Lesser of the two evil. We talked about that one, and you don't really want to get involved because when the lesser of two evil means that both of them are still evil. And you want to put all your eggs in one basket. We don't want to do that, right? Because they all might crack and you might lose everything. We want to diversify, except in our world when it comes to people of other cultures, religions, races, ethnicities, whatever, and so forth. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia was a city of neighborhoods, and it was as diverse as anything I ever knew. Every kind of neighborhood. You just went from the Polish neighborhood to the Italian to the Spanish to the German to the Puerto Rican to the Jewish to the Black to whatever it was, and what carried you through there once you got over feelings of I'm on the wrong turf, I might be in danger, was the smell, the scent in the air, because that food is good. Food is a great neutralizer. It makes everyone equal, man, because when you taste other people's food from other countries, you say, I make this stuff similar, but it doesn't taste like yours. That's right. Unfortunately, in today's obese world, we're stuffing our faces with too much of the other kind of food that's not good for us, whether it's regular food or genetically modified or whatever they call that stuff that they're ruining, which is why we have celiac and gluten-free. We didn't have this stuff generations ago. It's all been manufactured because you're messing with nature. Don't mess with nature when you're doing with the wheat and the corn. I can't eat popcorn anymore. It's painful. Used to eat it, hot air, just plain, nothing on it. Can't do it anymore. Can't eat corn on the cob. Goes right through. I don't know how I chew corn kernels, and when they come out, you know, it's gross. I look down there, and they're whole. How does something get chewed up into pieces, swallowed, and put back together? Is that what the gluten is that's putting it back together? I don't know. I'm not that smart. But I do know when you mess with Mother Nature, strong as she is, and remember, the women are the strongest ones out there, guys. No disrespect. Don't come after me with that. But put women in positions of leadership, making decisions, and we wouldn't have maybe all the conflict we have around the world. Because why? Women give birth. They give life, right? We're a vehicle. We provide love, affection, attention, emotional support, and everything else, but they do the work. In fact, tonight at basketball, something very interesting happened. Besides all the roughhousing and almost fights and things like that, one of the guys, his wife has been due for like a week. She was overdue, and she gave birth last Saturday. And I said to the other guys tonight, he's not showing up. His wife just gave birth Saturday. Sure enough, he popped in, came a little late. Didn't get in the first game. We all like to get in first game. He was the 11th guy waiting for the second game. But everybody gave him a nice handshake, a hug, a tap, whatever you want to call it, a reach out of some kind to show our concern for the well-being of him, more importantly, his wife, and the health of the baby, which and everyone is fine. But he came to play, and I even said, boy, you're here already? He said, yep. And the biggest question I asked him, have you changed a diaper yet? He said, yes. Guys, if you don't change diapers, you ain't a real guy. If you're not ready to get down and dirty, you just can't be there for the good times. Because when you change a baby's diaper, they're happy. You're taking a crying, upset kid, kicking and screaming, and you clean them up, take a few minutes, hold your breath if you have to until you get used to it. The different color mustards and greens or whatever else is down there, you clean them up. Now they're fun. You pick them up and play. They're fun. They're enjoyable. They're loving. That's why you have them. And educate them. Send them to school, first grade, nursery school, preschool, knowing their numbers, shapes, letters, colors, and they'll be prepared. And animals, too. Don't forget the animals. There's a lot of kids' books out there that help you do that. Take them places. Interact with them so that the teacher, don't blame the teacher, because parents blame teachers now for their kids' poor performance. When back in a generation ago, the parents went to the thing and said, what are you doing, man? Why are you messing up? Now we blame the teacher who has to bring everybody up who's lagging behind. That's why everybody's classified special ed, waiting in line to get meds. We talked about that before. It's a pain in the neck. They teach to the test, and they destroy kids by not letting them be kids, playing, having fun, going out, burning off their energy like we do with my basketball crew two or three times a week. Haven't played soccer in 2 months because of the snow, so I missed my Sunday morning burn. But that's okay. We'll get back to that once the snow clears. But basketball was last week was a symbol of perseverance. Perseverance is one of the power words from my book, Power Up Your Power. And we persevered because we got there, and one of the backboards and nets and rims was too low. And there's a machine there, a little handheld drill that you have to insert into the pin, and it'll raise it up electronically. Well, the little insert pin cracked. It busted. The maintenance guy was there to tell us, hey, there's nothing he can do. So here we go, 12 guys, no tools in their car, standing around with their fingers in their nose. What do we do? Well, one guy got a chair. He's 6'5". He got up, and he started to manually turn it, and it raised a little bit, but he was losing leverage. He had none because the chair was low, and he was reaching up as high as he could. I went out, found the janitor, got a 10-foot ladder, two wrenches, one locking, clamped it on, and him and another guy, two guys, took turns, and they raised it up, and we played. We persevered. We overcame an obstacle. We found a way to make it happen, which is what you can do when you are empowered, when you think critically, when you have an idea of what your goal is and how to achieve that goal, knowing that there's many ways and different people are going to take different methods to get to that goal. Doesn't matter. You make your plan. You set your goal. You travel your path. If you need to adjust, you do so. So we made it happen. We got our game in, and boy, it was great. Because nothing's worse than 15 or 20 guys leaving the gym without a game and a sweat behind them. They go home and they're miserable. And no shower in the world or no treadmill or lifting weights or any of that stuff is going to take the place of the bang and the burn and the sweat, the hustle, the passion, the love, the desire, the camaraderie of play. Mine is basketball. Yours could be any. We read a bunch of them on our show about things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. Sports is one of them. Another thing about perseverance. A few years ago, our son was in Little League. I was coaching. We went to the field. It was underwater because it's clay. It doesn't drain down. And all the kids were disappointed. So I walked in the outfield. The outfield was relatively dry, a little moist, but no big deal. So what did we do? We took a trash can lid for first base, found a log for second base, a trash bag filled with some rocks in it so it wouldn't blow away for third base. Home plate was an extra glove we had laying around. Right? And we played. And it got a little dark as the game went on. We put the cars in position to have the lights on, and we played. Put the cars far enough away so that even the little kids, if they connected with one, wouldn't hurt the car. And we played, and the kids loved it. And those are the times they remember. And the thing that will happen years from now when we're not here, because I'm old as a parent, when I'm not here, maybe you'll be here, I hope, is maybe they'll do it for their kids because they'll remember, hey, we had a similar situation, and I'm thinking, what did we do back then? We're going to do that today. And so that's what you pass on. Just like negativity is easily passed on. If you smoke, drink, use drugs, abuse, violate, yell, scream, badger, harass, just as those negative things are more easily distributed to the next generation, so are the good things, and they're better. They're harder to do because of what? It takes critical thinking to come up with a plan and an idea and to do it, to actually do it. Forget about all the critics and the doubters and the cynics. They're out there. They're going to be in your way. But when you take control, when you are strong enough inside and empowered to overcome those obstacles, good things happen. Good things happen all the time. Just like a good thing happened the other day, there was a Girl Scout. Now, she's kind of clever, resourceful. Some might call her shrewd. And I'm sure the Girl Scouts will go after a piece of the action that she's generating. She set up her Girl Scout cookie stand where? Outside of a marijuana store. I forget what state. It's probably California, Colorado, right? Then aren't they approved for it? I'm not sure. I have to keep up on my current events more. But one place, she set up her cookie stand right outside there, knowing the people coming out like that sugar rush once they come down or on their high from their marijuana, however they're using it. So maybe her parents or her grandparents told her stories about the hippies in the 60s eating all the Malamars and buying them out at the store once they were smoking their marijuana. So she set up out there, and I'm sure more will follow. And as I said, I'm sure the Girl Scouts, with their overhead and their expenses that they incur for all the things that they take, probably three-quarters of the money from each box of cookie to support their multi-million dollar office building on Fifth Avenue in New York City, they'll get their share, and it's like taxes on them. And they'll probably, maybe the den mother or the kid's mother will get yelled at or ostracized, or I'm sure she won't get acknowledged, affirmed, or noticed and awarded for this action. But a girl, I forget, she's probably 10 or 12 years old. That's resourcefulness. That's critical thinking. That's what we want. Why are we sending our kids to college? We send them to college and put them in debt. Who the heck wants to start off life at 23 or 24, whatever it is, $100,000 or more in debt? You're starting off behind. You never catch up. You want to buy a car, live in an apartment, live in the basement of your parents' house? Why are we doing that? Why are we so bent on getting these kids college educations where all they're doing is partying, and maybe some of them don't really need or want to be there? They want to be doing something else, but the peer pressure, the family pressure, et cetera, get a good education, you'll make a lot of money. Well, there's a lot of people out there who can work with their hands. Some probably, I know a few, had trouble reading and writing in their adult life. I did when I was a kid. Unfortunately, I can't do anything with my hands. I can barely pleasure myself anymore with my hands, right or left, if I want to have a stranger. But we need people who can make things and fix things and do things, but we're not doing that. We're encouraging people to go into debt and start off life way behind their peers and contemporaries. Well, there's two more non-stories that are out there in today's world. A story about a football player and a basketball player who are pioneers. They're courageous, they're patient, and they're tolerant of what's going to face them because of their choice, their lifestyle, of how they were born and how they want to live their life. And everyone's waiting for it to happen, and it's going to happen, and it'll happen more and more, and perhaps more and more people of like kind situations will make it known about their particular preferences in life. And the big thing is, who cares? Who cares, and why is it a story? To fill news time, because the black brainwashing box, whether it's news stations, sports stations, any station, has to have something of controversy to fill the airways and discussions, talking with all these people talking about nothing, with nothing to say, nothing but gibberish. Thank you, Eminem. Sitting around in their beautiful suit and a noose around their neck, which is really called a tie. Speaking of tie, when you retie, when you put your shoes on, let's say sneakers, basketball sneakers I wear, and I tie them up, and then during the trip or travel over to the gym, one comes loose, so I retie it. I automatically retie the second one. And if I don't, I feel like I'm not complete, like the loop isn't whole. So I don't know. Do you do that? Do you, like, just tie one and not retie the other? Think about it next time you're in that position. So I'm sure pretty soon on this subject of personal lifestyle in professional sports and all the hype it's going to get and all the fear that's out there, I'm always leery of the people who are the outspoken opponents of all this stuff. I'd like to check their websites, the history of where they go. I'd like to see what movies they watch on their cable or Netflix or whatever, and what kind of things they do in the private of their life. Because these people, the brave folks who are exposing themselves, not literally, figuratively, to this type of torment and ridicule and press, you know, they're telling you we know what they do. But what do you do, Mr. Pointing Finger Accusatory Person? So I'm sure some well-intentioned, well-groomed, educated, and connected private school type person, usually a lawyer in a position of power and influence, will want to impose their values for the good of us all and maybe try to ban it. Or some other in some other way manage or control it or get rid of it, right? But I'd really like to see what their stories are. Let's get to their truth. You know, like, what's the truth behind this new Kennedy woman who took the wrong medicine and fell asleep at the wheel? Thank God she didn't take anybody out like others have in that family, right? And why are we so just bombarded and loved to see? Do we love their tragedy? It's one of the saddest family stories in the history of the world, and we are attracted to it the way we're attracted to all those cop murder TV shows that you watch all the time that have been on for 15, 20, maybe even longer years, that are in reruns and syndication and giving residuals to all the actors. Hopefully they have good contracts to get that money. But why do we have to see Nancy Grace try and retry these high-profile cases on TV, or Jane, or any of the other ones who probably drink too much or have drunk too much or drank too much? What's right? I don't know. Drink or drunk. Swim or swam or swum. I'm not sure. But why? What's the appeal? Are our lives that empty? Are we so not empowered? Are we so weak that we just have to listen and fill our lives with this emptiness? There's no soul there. I talked about soul, right? You have soul when you know you're as good as others, when you want to be of use and service and contribute to yourself, others, and the world. You go the extra mile. You get knocked down, get back up, and keep going. You get knocked down. I got knocked down 3 times tonight. Got up, kept going. Didn't let them know it hurt, even though they probably already knew. You know you were smart and intelligent and capable to achieve your goals. You know you are in control. You know your life is worthwhile and filled with positive thoughts, energy, and results. You have hope, faith, and the will, the desire, the passion to succeed. You use your talent, skills, and abilities to be in the game. You play with your talent, and you win with your heart. Not in sports, in the game of life, because we're talented in so many other ways beyond the field of play. You value yourself. You are important. You welcome, face, and attack the challenges in your life. You endure what you cannot cure. Pains, aches, ailments, and conditions. You endure what you cannot cure. We all have them. I could list them, but I'm not wasting time to tell you about them. You accept love, support, and nurturing, and give it as well. You are positive, excited, and prepared. You are appreciated for you and return the feelings to others. You accept people for who and what they are, to themselves and for and with you. You live a clean, sober, and healthy lifestyle. You are grateful for your life. And the biggest one is you dream. It was all a dream. We used to read Word Up magazine. Thank you, Biggie. I was so good in rap battles, I could make Biggie small. You've heard some before. These are signs that you have soul. I talk about blue-eyed soul in the music that I listen to before we go on the air. This is soul. This is character. This is perseverance. This is all the things that help you become empowered. Just thought I'd mention a few while we have the time. Oh, boy, we're doing good. Where does the money go? On trees, I was taught, it does not grow. Feel its loss through your nose and down to your toes. Who knows where the money goes? Sounds like a job that we've been hosed, I suppose. Now I'm talking about places like Haiti, Indonesia, the Jersey Shore, the Philippines, Africa. By the way, if a white guy is born and living in America, he was born in Africa, but he lives in America, he's an American citizen, and so forth. Is he an African-American? I don't know. Power of definition. Let's create some easy, simple definitions, and we'll get rid of all the conflict we have. They even want to penalize players now for using the N-word in the heat of the moment. Now we're attacking a culture. We're attacking a way of life. If it bothers you, don't listen to it. If you don't like what, turn the sound off. But by the same token, if it's good for one group to use it, then it should be open for everybody to use it, right? Lenny Bruce said, don't take away my words. George Carlin had his 7 words that you can't say in public, but now those words have been desensitized. We hear them all over the place. I hear them at basketball for sure. I hear them at the park. You hear them in the locker room, but we hear them in movies, TV, radio. All over the place these words are. They're in our life. They're part of our general conversation. So why are we restricting one word? Because, yes, it's filled with hate. It demeans an entire race. But how do we separate that? You do it by being empowered and choosing not to do it. I can curse all I want. I can use profanity. I can talk about body parts. I can do all this stuff. Sometimes I put a little dig in, as you've heard over the past few weeks. But I choose not to. That's my choice. But when I was with the guys, and I'm with them, sometimes that's where we go, because that's the nature. That's what we do. We know how to control it. Appropriateness, place, when and where. You act differently when you go to your cousin's house than you do your grandparents' house. You act differently when you're with your parents and with your friends. Kids used to come to our house when they were little, and we'd play and dress up in costumes. I'd go outside and ride bikes, go swimming, and they'd eat carrots and fruit and good stuff. And the parents would pick them up, and I'd tell them what we did. I'd want to give them an idea of what we did. And they'd say, oh, not my kid. My kid doesn't eat carrots and celery. Well, he did today. Never ate an apple ever. Well, he did today. He had apples and cherries and cantaloupe. It's summertime. What's wrong with that? Right? So we act differently. I know we send our kids over to places, and our kids are wonderful kids, and we always got accolades. Oh, they're wonderful. They're great. And the first response, well, they must not be our kids. No, they are our kids. Take pride in what you do for and with your kids. Be shamed for what you do to your kids. That's a terrible thing. So when language goes, we don't respect what comes out of our mouth. When the gap between the haves and the have-nots gets larger and larger, like the Grand Canyon. When there's no trust in leadership, take a look around. Every day there's another one, right? I have examples I'll get to in a minute, sometime. That's when a society falls. That's the start of the fall. And it probably takes years and years and maybe hundreds of years for it to happen. But what we can do is we can slow down the pace. We can reverse this cycle. We can make change happen. Protesters do that. Many people lost their lives in the Ukraine. But those people are rejoicing now. And the president of Ukraine, who they wanted out, is now hunted. He's on the run. He's the bad guy. He's the bully. Well, how do these people get in power? What is the force behind them? Where is the money coming from to support them? How are the people left out there to have nothing? And yet they get together and they protest. Casualties occur. But for the good of the whole, that has to happen. That's the basis of war. Conflict, whatever you want to call it. But look, he's on the run. The other guy in Iraq, in Syria, in Africa, all these places, Pol Pot in Southeast Asia, all these guys, how do they get up there and ruin and destroy and just exterminate their own people, putting them down? North Korea, oh my God, I told you about that document that the UN now has proof that atrocities occur or have occurred in North Korea. Wow, what a surprise. Just like this other one I just read about snow days. The snow days are upon us, and people are panicking that we have to go to school the end of June, early July, and the schools are taking away holidays and spring break, and people are in crisis because they made vacation plans with non-refundable deposits because they don't get cooperation from the airlines. It's a whole big mess. But like I said before, in the last after grades are in, the last week or two of school, they show movies all day. But Harvard came out with a study a couple years ago that looked at the impact of snow days on student achievement and found closing schools, not snow days, the closures of a school has more impact, or has no impact. I'm sorry. I read too wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not Harvard educated. By the way, people from Harvard, when they have conversation with you, they always say, well, when I was at Harvard, you know, general folk like me, we said, when I was in school, back in college. And then you get into the probing of where you went to school. But not those elitists, not those folks. When I was at Harvard, back at Harvard, in my college days at Harvard, anyway, closures have no impact, but absences do. I mean, absolutely. Well, if everybody's absent, nothing can be taught. But if, you know, a kid is absent, Johnny student is absent 2 or 3 days for whatever reason, and people are going to do that. They're not giving up their vacations to make up snow days. Then that's a problem, because now the kid has to pay catch-up with no mustard and no hamburger, right? He has to play catch-up to get even. So he's working later at night. He's working on the weekends. He's doing all this work that he missed while he was away skiing or down in Disney World or something. But a closure of the school keeps everybody on the same level, on the same page. There's our cliche. I don't think that was in the Harvard study, right? But anyway, snow days are a joke. They count minutes. It's a waste. Don't worry about it. Go to school, have fun, learn stuff, and move on, right? Move on with your life and do what you want to do. Empower your kids to do what they want to do, and they'll do great. A very wise person once told me, when your kids go to college, if they go there, take what they like, they'll do well. Take what they like, they'll do well. and the suicide rate may come down, especially in some of those schools up in New York State. Sometimes this stuff just comes to me. I don't know how this can be. I'm very elementary and not too bright. Learning was always a fight, day and night. Rarely got things right. Oh, the fright each day in class. Often felt like a burro, donkey, mule, and ass. I used to be mobile, agile, in a good way, hostile, but not fragile. Getting old and still bold, stories yet to be told. Behold, tomorrow is going to rain, I can tell you, from the aches, pains, and cold. Yes, it's going to rain and maybe snow. I don't know. It's up to the weather folks. They're in control of that. Well, they're not. Nature's in control of that, right? Smartphones, smart cars, and smart homes. You know what that results in? People being stupid, because it takes away your ability to think. Yeah, you can call Siri, and you can tell your or program your coffee pot to go on while you're taking your shower in the morning. But it takes away from the beauty of you doing something, actually making it happen, rather than just pushing a button, the way we are brainwashed in front of the black rectangular brainwashing box. Smartphones make us stupid. Put down the phones. In fact, I mentioned before that scrolling is going to be the new rehab. In my uneducated, uninformed, illiterate position, opinion, texting and scrolling are the new forms of self-pleasure and gratification. And you don't have to clean up afterwards. There's no wash to do, no shower to be taken. It's a new form of self. Just think about it. What great pleasure you get when you find the answer to something that somebody has to know right now. Isn't that wonderful? You can do that? No, put it down. Put it down and do something. Become empowered. Speaking of empowered, we want to go to some of our empowerment words. Our power words. Well, we started a couple of weeks ago. We do like four or five a week. This one, we're going to go endurance. We're going to start with endurance. Cross the finish line, go the distance and the extra mile. Start something and complete it, regardless of what it takes, and even if it causes you pain and discomfort. The pain goes away when you win. It hurts 10 times as much or more when you don't. How many times have you gone through life and started a million things? Not a million. You started many things. And you just didn't finish most of them or all of them, right? We're all like that. People in recovery are notorious for that. That's where they start recovery and there's relapse and they go back in and they relapse and they do it again and so forth because there's so much forgiveness and they're not ready to face the consequences. Yes, there's many success stories, but recidivism in prison and relapse in recovery go together. You have to become empowered. You have to come over the obstacle. You have to go the distance. You must do that for you to be successful, the total package, the complete person, because then you're able to do it for someone else and with someone else, not to them, for them and with them. Thinking, if you think you can do it, you can. This is true when you know yourself, who you are and what you want. Critical thinking is essential since many times in our lives, we try to explain a reason for doing something and it is usually less than good with an I wasn't thinking response. We talked about that before. Think before you do, so when you do so with direction, purpose, aware of what consequences could occur. I mentioned in this one about reasons. Reasons define success. Excuses explain failure. And if you're coming up in life with more excuses than you are reasons, then you're on the downward spiral. It's time to get some help. And I do that kind of stuff. I can be your recovery coach. Send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. I've done it a long time. And we now with modern technology, we can be a time zone or two or three away. We can Skype, email, et cetera, and technologically make it happen for you. And I can be the boost to help you do it. Energy. Having energy to burn is good. That gets you through the tough times. Having energy to use on a consistent basis is the hallmark of success. It is your energy that boosts you when you think you were down. Positive energy takes lots of work to maintain. It gets you through the dry spells. Anything other than positive energy drains your ability to continue towards your goal. If that occurs, take some downtime. Recharge your power supply and get back in the game. Because just like the black rectangular brainwashing box that has an energy source, so do you have an energy source. And that's why we call it rest, sleep, vacation, or downtime. You used to give your kids timeouts when they needed a break or a nap. Naps are good, right? 15, 20 minutes, boom, you're ready to go. Give positive energy to give positive energy half the energy you once gave negative energy, and you will succeed beyond your expectations and accomplish more than you ever thought possible. Determination. This is the will to win, achieve, and succeed. It is the ultimate price you pay for your success. You play with pain. You have seen others do it. You can do it too. When the big three, your head, your heart, and your gut are in harmony, nothing can get in your way. You're acting as one, as a unit, the total package, complete, with resources at your disposal for you to use when you need them. You need structure. The unstructured life is fragmented. You're out there all over the place. There must be structure in your life. You must know what you are doing, where you are doing it, when it has to be done, what you will need to do it, and with whom, if anyone, is needed to be there with you and for you. Without structure, you leave yourself open to chaos, leading to a shift in your focus away from your goal. Distractions come into your life all the time. They're out there. They get in your way. They take you out. You're driving down the street. You see somebody. You toot your horn. You look away. Boom. You're kissing the back end of a tree or a bus. You're out of control. We talked about that before. So you need structure to in your life. You don't have to be so structured 24 hours a day that you have no time for yourself. You can have some free time. You need free time to do what? Get up, get out, get going, and get off your stuff and get out and play. Go for a walk. Exercise. Cut back on your food. Did you do anything this week? I forgot to ask you at the beginning of the show. There's so much to do and talk about in this fastest 60 minutes on radio. BBSradio.com. Marty Ford. You About Ready is the name of the show. Coming to you live Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station. So you need that downtime. You have to have it. It's part of your soul, of your character. We explained it before, is when you have soul. So you need structure. Right? The unstructured life is not a life at all. It's a mere existence because you're just randomly doing things out there. You need your center. We talked about that. It's in the book. Power Up Your Power, which I wrote with the help of my wife. You need humor in your life. We try to add a little silliness here on the show to keep you level-headed, to keep you engaged. And laughter is great medicine. It gets the brain going. When's the last time you laughed so hard tears came out of your eyes, your stomach muscles hurt, but nothing came out of your mouth? In fact, you were gasping for air. And when you think about it, you don't remember what triggered the laughter, but it was great and you felt good. I'm not talking about laughing at something. I'm talking about laughing with someone about something as minor and unimportant or insignificant as possible. Maybe it's a memory that you have some history with someone that you're going back and remembering old times. Who knows what it is, but it got you going and you laughed and you felt good about yourself. And you know what? It's contagious. The more you want, the more you have, the more you want. It's like that sweet taste of honey. You don't want to go back to that fake stuff in the blue, yellow, and pink packets. It's not real. Honey's the real deal. Go for the honey in your life. Keep it there. So laugh at yourself and you know you have arrived. I can laugh at myself all the time. In fact, if I want to laugh, I do look at myself because it can be kind of silly, right? You are a complete person when you laugh at yourself. You are human. People who don't laugh, I'll say this at the end. You don't laugh. You got bigger problems than not having a sense of humor or the ability to laugh at something or at yourself, hopefully at yourself first, and then others can laugh with you and you can laugh with them. Not someone grabbing their crotch on TV, entertaining you with more bodily functions and interactions among people, scratching themselves. Don't shake their hands. You don't know where they've been. Told you about that. You are a complete person when you laugh at yourself. You are human. The barriers are down. The shield is broken. And you allow others to see you for who you are and what you are about. Without laughter, fun, humor, silliness, and giggling, there is only one thing left, and that's constipation. That's where you will be. When you're constipated, you're frustrated. When you're frustrated, good things don't happen to you. You go in that downward spiral. So, live a little, laugh a lot. You need laughter in your life, wherever it comes from. Laugh at yourself. Yeah, I hope you're laughing with me, right? I hope you're laughing at some of the things we say and do here on BBSradio.com every week. let's see. Talked about that. Now, I have a question about language, you know, not just the profanity and the cliches, but I get confused. Now, English is the hardest language to learn. Why is it lima bean in Lima, Peru? Is it pecan or pecan? Or pecan? I can pee, but I don't know about a pecan. Pecan. Do I polish my nails? Do Polish people polish their nails? And is it Jack Sparrow in the Pirates of the Caribbean or the Pirates of the Caribbean? I'm not sure. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on the wrong syllable. I don't know how to do it. I'm not that smart. Last week I mentioned color, red, yellow, black, white, right? Caucasian, African-American, Asian, Native American. What I forgot to tell you, and I really didn't forget, I kept it for this week because I wanted to reintroduce the problem of race relations and so forth and why there's so much of it out there when it need not be because we all share a common ground. We're not any color. There is no blacks or browns or yellows or greens or whites. There's none of that. Forget that. We're all green because green is what moves the world. Just ask all the people who are involved in illicit obtaining the green, ill-gotten gain, right? There's more of that. The biggest corruption in this stuff, scandals are coming out in our nation's capital all the time, right? We have to expose all this stuff. And then it transfers, it's out there, we just hear about it in other countries. I mentioned it before, why doesn't the food, the products, the money, the help get to the poor countries who need it, desperate? Why does it get hijacked and stolen and put on underground markets? Why does that happen? I don't know, I'm not that smart, I can't solve the solution, come up with the problem with a solution. Can't solve it. I can come up with the problem, identify it. I can't solve it. I'm just one guy in a basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station. That's where we need trustworthy leaders. Why isn't the money? It's been over a year and a half when all these people down the Jersey Shore can't get their house. Where's the money? Oh, it's tied up somewhere. Yeah, in distribution to the people who should be distributing to people who need it. Why are people having to have their homes knocked down with no chance of rebuilding? Where is that money? Where is that money in the Philippines, and where they just had that typhoon just destroyed a whole part of the country? What's going on in the world? Where is the money? But we're all green. Red Fox said it a long time ago. Great, funny guy. He said we're all green. Some of us are a little darker green. Some of us are a little lighter green. But we're all green. And listen to that kid. There ain't nothing more important than the moolah. Montana French, I think his name, or French Montana. I get dyslexic when I read his name. But there's nothing more important than the moolah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's right. There ain't nothing more important than the moolah, right? Or else a lot of these organizations wouldn't be in existence today. We all consider honesty to be a virtue, but nobody wants to hear, if you go back to that movie, every reference in life is made to a movie or a TV commercial, or I saw that guy in that movie. We all consider honesty to be a virtue, but nobody wants to hear or tell the truth. Because what? We can't handle the truth. Or the truth might hurt somebody's feelings. And then they'll turn out to be one of these psycho. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The marijuana people that are buying the Girl Scout cookies out there, we need those people on the streets and out of the jails. I'm harping on this because we got to get the psychos out of circulation. The ones who are banging them up, blowing them up, and shooting them up. Like all the movies we are subjected to, and video games and so forth, right? And good leadership teaches kids that it's just a game, it's just a movie, it's not reality, it's all computer generated. But some people can't handle that. Those are the ones we have to get out of circulation. So if we empty out the jails of the marijuana people, who are basically harmless and want Girl Scout cookies, or any other kind of cookie or cake or sweet treat, and watch the world go by, they're harmless and not dangerous. We can send our kids to the park. They can go out and play and be kids and learn life lessons in the field of play. They don't have to go to anger management classes. They don't have to go to conflict resolution. They don't have to see head jockeys. They don't have to be on medications in second, third, and fourth grade, preparing them for adult life of what? More medications and perpetuating that cycle into their kids. We all consider honesty to be the virtue, but nobody wants to hear or tell the truth. That's where we are. We mentioned that about the key. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. That's not funny. We want to come off with something funny at the end. And we want to have some fun here at the end. But all of this, you do have the power to make someone happy. And when you do, do it. The world needs more of that, right? We need more happiness. Because when you're happy, you're laughing. When you're laughing, you're performing to your expectations and your likes and your desires. You're becoming empowered. You want to fight boredom. I think we have time. No, we don't have time for things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. I'll just quickly review. I had a great story tonight for you, but we're running short on time, and I don't want to jam it in at the last minute here, because pretty soon I'll be off the air and watching basketball games to unwind and relax, which is what I like to do, because as I told one of the guys tonight who decided to go watch a basketball game at his alma mater instead of playing with us last week, and he got upset when he found out we had 14 guys and a great run. He was very upset, and I told him a life lesson. When you have the choice, because life is filled with choices, and it all started with 28 flavors at Howard Johnson's and ruined the world. Just go try to buy a pair of sneakers. When you have too many choices in life, it's hard to make up your mind. So I said, if you have a choice between spectating at a game, watching a game, and playing, especially at your age, you're 25, 27 years old, what you going to do? You're going to play. Speaking of what you're going to do, Hulk Hogan is back in the WWE, and he's going to host WrestleMania. What a great thing. I saw a clip of him in his all his Hulk Hogan Hulkamania regalia, and it's wonderful because he did something, right? He brought three generations of people together in a community of world wrestling when it was in its infancy, and actually not in its infancy, but getting bigger 30 years ago when he was involved. And we love the Hulk and all the things he stood for. And we said our prayers, we took our vitamins, and we were Hulkamaniacs in this house. And we love the Power Rangers too. But it was fun, it was silly, it kept connected to family, and I hope my kids don't hate me for that. And maybe someday they'll find some of that stuff for their kids and their life when they're building a world for themselves. This is Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com. I'm going to make like a hockey player and get the puck out of here. But for you, I want you to power up your power, because the power is in you.